Some hours later, Hector, Admiral Tartarian, Sir Lindar Raymond, Hector's treasurer, and the Earl of Corus, his spymaster, sat in a small council chamber whose window overlooked the naval anchorage.
"How many does that make, my prince?" Earl Corus asked.
"9,"
Hector said, rather more harshly than he'd intended to. 9, he repeated in a more moderate tone, "and I doubt we're going to see many more of them.
And according to our latest messages from the Grand Duke, none of the Zebedean manned galleys have made it home even now,"
Corus murmured.
"I'm well aware of that," Hector said. "And I'm not very surprised either," he thought. "There never were very many of them, and despite anything Thomas may have to say, I'll wager his precious captain surrendered just about as quickly as Charlian's Chisomians." He snorted mentally. "After all, they love me just about as much as Charlian does." Actually, that probably wasn't quite fair, he reflected. It had been over 20 years since he had defeated and deposed and executed the last prince of Zebediah, who hadn't been a particularly good prince before the conquest, even when he'd had a head, as even the most rabid Zebedean patriot was forced to admit. Hector might have displayed a certain ruthlessness in rooting out potential resistance and making sure the entire previous dynasty was safely extinct, and he'd been forced to make examples of the occasional ambitious noble since then. But at least they'd gotten honest government since becoming Coruscantian subjects, and their taxes weren't actually all that much higher than they had been. Of course, more of those taxes were spent in Coruscant than in Zebediah, but if they insisted on losing wars, they couldn't have everything. And whatever the common folk might think, Thomas Simmons, the Grand Duke of Zebediah, and his fellow surviving aristocrats knew which side of their bread the jam was on. Simmons' father, for example, had been a mere baron before Hector elevated him to the newly created title of Grand Duke, and the current Grand Duke would retain the title only as long as he retained Hector's confidence. Still, there was no denying that his Zebedean subjects were somewhat less enthusiastic than his native-born Coruscantians about shedding their blood in the service of the House of Dakin. Something about how much of their blood had been shed by the House of Dakin over the last few decades, probably.
"Frankly, Your Highness," Tartarian said, "I'll be astonished if we see any more of them, Coruscantian crude or Zebedean crude. Lance is the next best thing to a wreck. Given her damage and casualties, it's a miracle Harris got her home at all, and he didn't set any record passage doing it."
The Admiral shook his head, his expression grim.
"If there were any of them with worse damage, they almost certainly went down before they could reach Coruscant. Either that or they're beached on an island somewhere between here and Darko Sound, at any rate."
"That's my opinion as well," Hector agreed, and inhaled deeply. "Which means that whenever Harald gets around to us, we're not going to have a navy to fend him off."
"If the reports are accurate, no conventional galley fleet would be able to stop him anyway, Your Highness," Tartarian said.
"Agreed. So we're just going to have to build ourselves a new model galleon fleet of our own."
"How likely is Harald to give us the time to do something like that, my prince?" Corus asked.
"Your guess is as good as mine, Philip. In fact," Hector's smile was alum tart, "I rather hope your guess is better than mine."
Corus didn't quail, but his expression wasn't particularly happy either. Philip Osgood, like his counterpart in Corus, had not been born to the nobility. He'd received his title, following the unfortunately deceased previous Earl of Corus's involvement in the last serious attempt to assassinate Hector, in recognition of his work as Hector's spymaster, and he was probably the closest thing Hector had to a true first counselor. But he'd slipped considerably in the prince's favor, as the devastating degree to which Harald of Corus's naval innovations had been underestimated began becoming painfully clear. It was entirely possible that his head was still keeping company with the rest of his body only because everyone else had been taken equally by surprise.